says, "And again he entered into Capernaum for some days, and it was noised that he was in the house." I love how the King James phrases that. Jesus was in the house, right? "And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know," say that with me, "but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. This is the word of God." Let us pray. Gracious and glorious Father, we ask now that you add a blessing to the reading of your word. Father, I ask that you cleanse me of sin and empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit and help me be a blessing to these thine people this morning. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. Lord, we ask that you would do a great work within this service this morning. We know that the enemy is busy, and we know there's a lot of things within our time today that we cannot control. But Lord, we also know that when your word comes forth and is declared, something powerful manifests. And so we ask, Lord, that you would give power to your word this morning, and that in my weakness, may your strength be made known. May your mercies be seen afresh and anew. We ask all of this in your precious and mighty name, Jesus Christ, King of kings, Lord of lords, name above all names. And all of God's children said, Amen. Go ahead and have a seat this morning. So the text tells us, just by way of introduction, that Jesus is back in Capernaum. And as he enters back into Capernaum, we see that things begin to happen afresh and anew. We see that Jesus enters a house, he begins to preach, and as he begins to preach in the house, we see that people come and basically mob the house. These people would mob the house so much that they would prevent someone from coming. In fact, that is the focus of these 12 verses. There are individuals within this text that we will see that would not stop at anything until they were able to get someone they loved to Jesus. And these individuals encourage me this morning in this text. These individuals were unorthodox. These individuals were undeterred. These individuals were unstoppable. These individuals were unusual. The text says this morning that they were born of four. There were four of them that were willing to get their friend to Jesus. They took up different ends of his mat. They carried him to Jesus. They were willing to do whatever it takes to get their loved one to Jesus. Can I tell you this morning, church? In the year 2023, our responsibility, our mandate as the church, our call above everything else, still remains the same as you see in the text. to go forth into all the world to spread the gospel and do whatever it takes to bring people to Jesus. Yes, I know we like the fellowship. Yes, I know we like to get into our small groups and we like to talk about the Bible. Yes, I know we like to have our fun. Yes, I know we like to go and do things like a social club sometimes. But above all else, our number one priority is to preach the word and introduce Jesus to as many people as possible and bring them to him at his feet. That's our job. And we must never, ever lose focus of it. Here's the problem. It doesn't take much to get us to stop doing it. It does not take much to slow us down in our mission. All it usually takes is a little bit of criticism from the world. All it usually takes is a little bit of sideways glances from the people who aren't a part of the church. Sometimes all it takes is a little bit of resistance within the church. Why are you so fanatical? Why are you one of those Bible thumpers? And just like that, my goodness, you could even make a post on Facebook and you get a little resistance. We shut our mouths. We take it down. You know, isn't it interesting? We got no problem as Christians talking about our business. We got no problem talking about maybe our little pet projects that we have going on. We got no problem talking about our careers and what we do. We even have no problem talking about our sports and our favorite teams and the games that are going on. We got no problem engaging strangers even in sometimes political conversation. But somehow, we have absolutely no urgency of getting to people and spreading to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we get deterred and we get derailed very quickly over any small resistance that we encounter. You know what I like about these four men? These four men who are unnamed. These four men who in which we know absolutely nothing about who they are or their background. And while we know nothing about their names and nothing about their background, you know what I do like? What we do know is that they would stop at nothing to get their friend to Jesus. And ladies and gentlemen, that's all you need to know about these men in that text this morning. So my challenge to you as we go through this text this morning is this: are you willing to do whatever it takes to get someone you love to Jesus? Are you willing to do whatever it takes to get someone you love to Jesus? Because, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to have a passion for getting people to Jesus, because it's becoming more and more difficult to do so in our culture and in our society today. Christians oftentimes are too preoccupied to engage in this. Oftentimes we find ourselves or complain that we're too busy. We don't have time. We don't have the knowledge. We don't have the resources. We don't have the understanding to tell people or to bring them to Jesus. And so we cower in fear rather than standing in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit that he gave us to witness. But it's not just our problem. It's becoming more and more difficult in the world today because, ladies and gentlemen, the world is becoming more and more cold-hearted. The world is becoming more and more callous. The world is becoming more and more unconcerned about the gospel. More and more unconcerned about the things of the Bible. You know, like I said earlier, you can engage people in sports, you can engage people in politics, you can engage people in conversations about food, you can even go up to somebody and have small talk to them about the weather. That's all good, but the moment you start mentioning Jesus to someone, oftentimes, you got a group of people, that group will scatter and be uncomfortable. You know, oftentimes, even just if I'm in a group of people and they don't know who I am, the moment they find out that I'm a pastor, things change in the group. All of a sudden, if they swear, it's, oh, I'm sorry. And to some of that, that's good. But things shift just by them knowing. And folks, we have a world today that it's fine to talk about all those things, but now they're starting to make laws and put things in place where you cannot share the gospel and you cannot talk about Jesus. And while I cannot talk about all that stuff today, what I can talk to you about what's in our text and continue to challenge you this morning about being willing to do whatever it takes to bring your loved ones to Jesus. I have a lot to say this morning in this text, and I pray the Lord gives me some brevity to say it, but there's a lot here. First thing I want you to notice is the declared presence that's in the text. The declared presence that's in the text. It says, and he again entered into Capernaum for some days, and it was noised that he was in the house, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. Jesus was there. They had heard what he had done. People had gathered. They needed to be in the presence of the Savior. And you want to know what Jesus did when people heard where he was and gathered where he was? He didn't just start breaking out miracles. He didn't try to entertain them. He didn't try to do things and feed them to get them to stick around. It says Jesus preached the word. He preached the word when they were in his presence. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you this morning, be weary of any church that when they gather together, they go skimpy on preaching the word. Because that's where the power of bringing people to Jesus are. If you've got an audience, bring the word. Bring those wonderful words of life. Bring that gospel message. Let it be known. There's nothing more powerful. There's nothing more that needs to be done. And I don't know about you, but folks, this is a big deal, and I would hope that even as we gather here this morning in this place, and you took time out of your schedule this morning to come and realize that it was important, you knew Jesus was going to be in this place today. You know Jesus was going to be manifested. You said, I'm going to be there. I'm going to go into the house of God. You needed to hear the word that's brought forth, and I think it's a pretty big deal for us to gather here together in the same mind, in the same spirit, and to worship the Lord and come before the King of Kings. It's a big deal. It's a big deal what happens here at 473 Plank Road on a Sunday morning. Amen? It's a big deal when the word goes forward and is preached. Because listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, when you come into Grace Church, we are not preaching politics, we are not preaching opinions, but we are preaching the Word of God. That's big news. That's good news. And you're not, you may look around in your life right now and you may think that there's not much good going on. And you may look around in your world and there may be a lot of things that discourage you. But ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus is in the house and the word goes forward, there's a source of joy that is here. I've heard many of you say it. The best part of your week is Sunday morning. The best part is coming in and being in fellowship. The best part is getting to worship and get fed through the word of God. The best part is being able to be in the manifested presence of Jesus Christ. There's joy because there are people hearing truth. There's lives that are being changed. There's souls that are being saved, just like in that house this morning. If you value that, if it invigorates you, if it's changed you, let me ask you this question. Do you know someone else in your life that needs to be here this morning? If it's true, what are you doing to get them here? What are you doing to get them here? Are you willing to do whatever it takes? There was a declared presence. There was a definite predicament. Look with me at verse 3. It says, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, we'll stop there. Their friend had a problem. Their friend, it says in the text, was sick of the palsy. Now, what that means in our days is he was crippled. He lost the feeling in his extremities. He had some muscle paralysis. He could not get up off of his mat. He could not walk. He was stricken with a disease that did not allow him to care for himself. He was reliant on other people. Can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there are people all around us in our life today that are stricken with spiritual palsy. They've lost sensation to morality. They've desensitized themselves from good and evil. They are confused about spiritual things and what's true in this reality that we live in. Folks, we got a lot of people that have their heads in la-la land. Oh, let me have their heads in their phones or their electronic devices so much that they don't know what's up and down, and you are being desensitized by these things. Watch out if your kids are on them nonstop. It's desensitizing. They become indifferent about a lot of things. And there's so many people that are desensitized to the spiritual stuff, that are indifferent, that have lost sensation, and they're laying on a mat in their sins, and they cannot help themselves because no one in the church is willing to go and bring them to Jesus. Even when they realize their condition, even when things start falling apart in their life, they don't know where Jesus is, how to get to him, and they can't get there themselves. You know, we get so upset when we see things going on in the world by lost people. And I wonder why we get so upset and why we shake our heads and why we get so discouraged. Folks, they don't know Jesus. And when you don't know Jesus, you are lost, and you will abide in the things of the enemy. Here's the thing, don't get discouraged. May you have compassion so that way you may go forward and give them the solution. You've got the answer. It's Jesus. It's the gospel. It's the Holy Spirit that can change and save and transform a life. But there was another problem. It just wasn't within the friends. The men had a problem as well that were there with him. They couldn't get their friend to Jesus. They wanted to. They were willing to pick up the mat. They were willing to carry him. They were willing to take him to the place where Jesus was. But notice what the text says. It says that there was so many people there, they could not come nigh unto him for the press. The press was too great. The people wouldn't move. You know, I wonder sometimes they brought their friend and they're saying, excuse me, pardon, and no one would move. I wonder if this was plan B, they had to get up onto the roof, right? But did they try to get through? Can I tell you something, ladies and gentlemen? We do have a predicament. Number one, are you willing as a church to carry someone to Jesus? There are going to be obstacles when you're willing to get them to Jesus. There are going to be people who are going to try to push you away from getting to Jesus. Are you going to continue to press forward in the midst of the predicament? Or are you going to hang your head and say, it's not worth it? I tried, but you know, the people. Now, I even like that excuse, right? You heard me say it before. Church would be great if it wasn't for the people, right? Well, the people, Lord. The people. We hear that excuse in the Old Testament, right? The people, Lord. Why did you give me these stiff-necked people, Lord? It's not just your pastor. It's in the Bible, all right? Or are you willing to do something about it? Willing to do whatever it takes. Can I ask you something this morning? Are you the crowd when it comes to getting people to Jesus, where you are a hindrance to them getting there? Or are you one of those that's a helper and saying, okay, how do we go about making this happen? A declared presence, a definite predicament. I also want you to see there's a distinct passion that's there, and that's what we just hit on just a little bit ago. Look again at verse 4. It says, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy laid. They had a distinct passion for this guy. Now, it's not mentioned specifically in the text, but ladies and gentlemen, it's obviously inferred in the text. Why? Because they went to great lengths to get him to Jesus. Why? Because they cared about him. And they didn't just care about his physical condition. Can I tell you? They cared about his spiritual condition. They cared about his soul. Pastor, why'd they care about his soul? Listen, because it's a real truth that the church doesn't hear enough anymore. Because lost souls go to hell. I know that's like not something you're supposed to say in our culture anymore, right? Everybody dies, everybody goes to heaven, right? That's not true. Only if you have Jesus do you go to heaven. Everyone else goes to a devil's hell for just as long as they go to heaven, which is eternity. They cared about his soul. And they knew that Jesus was in town, and because Jesus was in town, they knew this was the absolute best opportunity for this man to get where he needed to be. Let me ask you something this morning. These men cared about this individual. Do you care? Do you? What about your friend at work that you know isn't a believer and has never heard the gospel before? You ever shared the gospel? You ever talked to him about spiritual things? Do you care? I know you got all these friends on Facebook. Do you ever have a real conversation about spirituality with any of them? About Christianity, about Jesus? Do you care? What about a family member? Your own flesh and blood that you know doesn't know Jesus. You willing to do whatever it takes? Lost souls go to hell, folks. You willing to do whatever it takes? Do you care? What about your neighbors? Some of us are friends with our neighbors. Some of us have cookouts with our neighbors. Some of us engage with all kinds of conversation with our neighbors. Do you care about their spiritual state? Are you willing to do whatever it takes? Do you care enough? It's a question we all have to ask ourselves. These men cared. And they went to extreme lengths to get their friends to Jesus. Notice how they accomplished it. They had to think outside the box. They had to think outside the box. They had to take their mat, they had to go up on the ceiling, and they had to tear a hole in the roof. Now, back in those days, we're talking small homes, right? There was usually a flat ceiling, right? And there was a ladder to get up the side. And there was usually other stuff that took place on the roof. They said, if we can't get through the crowd, we're going to go around the crowd. We're going to go above and over the crowd. The normal way of trying to get someone to Jesus in this text was not going to work. They had to think outside the box. Listen to me. They literally had to go above and beyond. You know what? A lot of us stop caring when it gets to that part. If we have to go above and beyond. If we have to do something different, come on, yeah, come on. It intimidates us as a church. You will hear people say, well, we've never done it like that before. Listen to me, as long as you are not contradicting the Bible, any method is on the table to bring someone to Jesus. In our day and age, folks, we think that in 2023 we can just open the doors and expect people to show up. That don't work anymore. Amen. Even a few raindrops keep people from coming to church. Amen. Come on. That don't work like that anymore. You got to go out in the community and engage them and bring them to Jesus. Why do you think we do what we do here at Grace and why it looks so different from a lot of other churches? I said from the very first day that God called me into the ministry and called me to be a pastor, I am not going to be a cookie cutter pastor of a cookie cutter church. We are going to do things differently. It will look differently because unless you do things differently from other church, there are going to be people who are never reached and who will never hear the gospel and who never will be brought to Jesus. Pastor, why don't you have VBS? Every other church has VBS. You know what? We're going to have a big week for a whole different group of kids that are oftentimes neglected in that age group. Praise the Lord! 4 nights of telling them about the gospel message of Jesus. No other programs for them in the area, in that age range, during the summer. I could go on and on. I don't want to brag too much on our church this morning, but listen to me. In order to do that, though, it takes sacrifice, and that's what we see in this text. In order to do that, it takes sacrifice. It will take work. It will take labor. It will take sweat. How do I know that? Because all of those things happened when they got on that roof and they started digging through the tiles of that roof where Jesus was. Think about it. I don't know how big this man was, but they had to carry this man up onto the roof as well. They expended a lot of force. They got on the roof. They started ripping the tiles away. There was a lot of sacrifice that was being made to do whatever it takes to get this person to Jesus. And not just that, but folks, it's not just sacrifice, but we have to have a selfless disregard in order to get people to Jesus as well, to be able to do whatever it takes. Because that's what these gentlemen do. Can you imagine what was going on when this all was happening? Could you imagine Jesus sitting there and he's preaching and all of a sudden the roof starts opening up? Could you imagine what the owner of the house was thinking as he was either standing or sitting there and all of a sudden the roof of the house starts opening up? The roof opens up, but you know what? These men didn't care. They didn't care what other people thought. They had a selfless disregard to get their loved one to Jesus. Now, I wonder if they were thinking, you know what? We can buy new tiles, but we can't get our friend out of hell. Our muscles will recover and we'll get rest, but we won't be able to get our friend out of hell. You know, we can find new friends if these people decide to shun us and don't want us around anymore. But we wouldn't be able to get our friend's soul out of hell. You know, I'm willing to pay a fine if he calls the authorities for vandalizing his roof. But we wouldn't be able to pay a fine to get our friend's soul out of hell. You know, I wonder sometimes if we're willing to do whatever it takes. If we're willing to have a selfish disregard to get our loved ones to Jesus, because I'll be honest with you, church, there's a lot of me, even in myself, and I can see it within our culture, within our church today. We don't have a selfless disregard. We have a selfish disregard when it comes to getting people to Jesus. Oh, well, you know, the service is too long. Oh, well, you know, they're asking me to give too much. Well, you know, that's a lot of time, a lot of effort. You know what? It's just not worth it. That's why I try to remind you as a congregation this morning. I'm not saying this in any kind of way, but you've heard me say it before. I hate the word volunteer within the church. We are not volunteers, and we are not looking for volunteers. We are servants of Almighty God. There's a difference between a volunteer and a servant. A servant does what the Lord says, exactly how he wants it, and exactly his way on his timetable and on his schedule. A volunteer determines all those things for themselves and then decides whether it's worthy of enough calls. Last time I checked, we're servants, we're not volunteers. It's the difference between a selfless disregard and a selfish disregard. Let me ask you something, ladies and gentlemen. Where would you be today? It might not even be sitting in this church and on this pew as a saved individual. Where would you be today if someone in your life that you had come across thought, you know what? It's just not worth it getting that person to Jesus. Where would you be today if someone thought like that? We have some idea that what we do sometimes doesn't matter. Can I tell you? Big week mattered. Ask the volunteers who gave up four nights of their week this week. Thank you. You're listening. I'd like to say I did that on purpose, but I can't take credit. Finally got you guys to talk back. It's good. Ask them. Some of them probably sat there some nights. Let's be honest. Why am I here? I could be doing this. Does it even matter? Are these kids even paying attention? It's worth it. Every small Sunday school teacher, you prepare a message. You wonder if the kids are listening. Every preschool teacher, you wonder if the things are getting. It's worth it. Don't let the devil lie to you and tell you that it's not. The praise team, they get up here and they sing. They might not be the most talented, whether it's playing an instrument, whether it's singing. I love the praise team. I'm just using this as an example. Listen to me. Let me make my point. Steph, we love you. Listen. You think it may not matter. Here's what I'm getting at. There's a lot of people that play instruments and sing, and you think it may not matter for you to serve on the praise team. But it's the praise team that stirs the hearts and stirs the souls of a congregation and leads you into the presence of God. That's what I'm saying. And it doesn't matter whether you think you can sing or whether you think you can play or what talent you bring. You do it unto the Lord, and it makes the ground fertile when it comes time for the word to go forward. You may think it doesn't matter. It matters. It all matters. Those awkward moments that God puts you in where you could bring forth the gospel, do so, even if it gets awkward, even if it gets uncomfortable. It all matters when you have a passion to bring people to Jesus. It all matters. Next, I want you to see the devoted persuasion. Look at verse 5. I promise these last couple of points don't go as long. Verse 5, it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. What's the persuasion? These four men convinced Jesus to do something. Notice in the text it says, when Jesus saw their faith, his sins, the sick of the palsy, it says, your sins are forgiven. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Your faith is what brings others to Jesus. Your faith is what gets other people to Jesus so that way their sins can be forgiven. Your faith. We don't need more time. We don't need less restrictions. We don't need more money. What we need is more faith that when we get our friends to Jesus and willing to do whatever it takes, that he can save, he can heal, he can transform. Do you have the faith? Now, here's the interesting part, ladies and gentlemen. Why did Jesus look at the man who was sick of the palsy and say, your sins are forgiven? I thought he was brought for healing. I thought he was brought for his condition. Why did Jesus look at him and say, your sins are forgiven? Listen to me. Yep, there we go. Listen to me. Jesus always will heal the soul before he ever heals the body. His job and why he came was to save your soul. Listen to me. What would it have benefited the man if his condition was healed, but his soul was never saved? He'd still be in the greatest predicament of his life, right? I believe Jesus said it another way in the Gospels. What good does it do, right, to go into the kingdom or to go to hell without an eye or to go with it, whatever. I didn't have that in my notes and I can't bring it up right now, so I'm just going to skip over it. You know what I'm getting at. It's one of those things where it's like, Pastor, stick to where you're at. They had a devoted persuasion. A devoted persuasion. But notice in the midst of their effort, there were disparaging parties. Verse 6, but there was certain of the scribes sitting there reasoning in their hearts. There's always some. There's always some. Why doth this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but only God? And immediately when Jesus perceived this in his spirit, that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he then said to the sick of the palsy. We'll get to that part later. But there were disparaging parties when these men were trying to bring their friend to Jesus. What I want you to see in that text is those Pharisees and scribes, they were the ones that were sitting there. They were the ones who weren't willing to move. They were the ones that were keeping getting someone that needed Jesus to Jesus. And why am I bringing that up to you? Because oftentimes within the church, ladies and gentlemen, it's the people who are doing the least which are the ones that are doing the most complaining. The people who are doing the least are oftentimes the one who are doing the discouraging. Why? Because when you sit idle within the church, you become a hurdle for people to get over to Jesus, and you miss the power of God that goes forward. Notice it didn't fit their legalistic mindset that something like this could happen. That's not how we've done it. That's not how it should be done. That's not the way it should be. How dare they do something like that? Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, if you find yourself complaining about people bringing other people to Jesus, maybe you need to start doing something within the ministry to get your mind focused on what's more important. You know, I've been here long enough to hear a lot of complaints. You know, he focuses too much on children. Last I checked, Jesus did too. It seems like he ignores the older people. The music ain't always hymns, or there aren't enough hymns. Folks, just so you know, 3 of the 4 songs this morning were hymns. Thank you, Stephanie, for pointing there, for making that happen today. You know, I came to church and I couldn't find a parking spot. I had to park way out in the grass. And I had to walk in here. Well, number one, how else are you going to come in here? I hope you walked, right? Number two, I'd rather you not be able to find a parking space and have to park in the grass than to have the problem of too many parking spaces on a Sunday morning. And you may be saying, well, Pat, I would never say those things out loud. I would never say those things out loud. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Your body language speaks a lot, and it always somehow gets back to the pastor, trust me. But here's the thing that I want to point out to you in the midst of that. You don't have to say it. The Pharisees and the scribes in the text didn't say it. They thought it. And Jesus could tell. Their attitude wasn't right. Their heart wasn't right. They were more upset that someone was brought to Jesus than the fact that Jesus just healed and forgave a man. Wrong priorities. Wrong priorities. Listen to me. Anytime you do something for God, someone will have a problem with it. And oftentimes that problem will even come from within the church. But here's what you need to understand. You don't have to answer them. You don't have to answer them. And don't ever spend your life defending yourself against attackers for you being willing to do whatever it takes to get someone to Jesus. Let Jesus answer for you. That's what it does in the text. That's what we see in the text. Look with me at verse 10. He says, but that ye may know. Say that with me again. But that ye may know. As the worship team gets ready to come back up, I promise I'm closing. In the midst of the disparaging parties, there's devoted praise. I absolutely love what Jesus does here. He sees that these people are absolutely, I'm just going to put it out there, being jerks. How can you forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins. Well, you called it. Your words, not mine. But you know what? Let me satisfy you here for a second. Is it easier for me to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk? Okay, well, if you need to see the healing, if you need to see the divine power, if you need to see the supernatural, if you need to see the, because they couldn't see the sins forgiven, let me show you what you actually need to satisfy your soul. By the way, take your bed, get up and walk. Boom! You know, we have such a desire to want to see the exterior that we oftentimes miss the joy of a soul being saved and sins being forgiven. Sometimes you don't see that. Oh, well, we'll make a big deal about everything else. Jesus came to save souls. You're going to die of some kind of illness. You're going to die of some kind of condition. If he heals your condition off one thing, praise the Lord. Give him praise. But guess what? You're going to get something else, and something else is going to kill you. You're going to die. Newsflash. But don't die without Jesus. Because once that soul is redeemed, once that soul is saved, once those sins are forgiven, you are gonna live forever. You're going home to glory. Look with me at verse 11. It says, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it in this fashion. Look at the change that took place in the crowd. The crowd saw the miraculous. They were amazed, and they glorified God, and they started spreading the good news of Jesus even more. Listen to me. All because of the faith of four people and their desire to do whatever it takes to get their friend to Jesus. Will you bow your heads with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to ask you this question. I asked you it before. I'm going to ask you it again. What have you done lately to get someone you love to Jesus? Whether it's a friend, whether it's a family member, whether it's a coworker, are you willing to do whatever it takes to get that person to Jesus? Listen to me. On my best day, I'm a child of God. On my worst day, I'm a child of God. And all the days in between, praise the Lord, I am still a child of God. Yet there are a vast majority of people in this world who will never know what it means, how it feels, what it does to be a child of God. Imagine the grace you've experienced. Imagine the forgiveness you've experienced. Imagine the peace you've experienced. Imagine the purpose you've experienced. Imagine the forgiveness and the mercy that you have experienced in your life, and you have that every single day because you have Jesus Christ, and you've come to him, and he saved you, and he redeemed you. Yet there are so many in this world who need to hear it, desperately need to know it, desperately need to have it. But either we don't care, or we just think, you know what? It's just not worth it. somebody else will do it. Ladies and gentlemen, you look at history, you look at prophecy, you look at current events, you look at the political climate, and then you take your Bible and you read it as the truth that God has given us. And I'm telling you, folks, any day, I'm expecting any day for God to split that sky and the trumpet to be sound and for His return to come. Any day, it's imminent. And while we get excited, I just heard it, we get excited about the idea of Jesus coming back, there's so many who aren't ready. There's so many who aren't ready and so many that don't know Him. If that's you today, don't leave here until you settle it. Jesus is in this place today. And you can be saved and you can know that your Redeemer lives. You can know your sins are forgiven and you can know that you're going to heaven today. Don't leave here today if you're unsure about it. Come forward during this.